Let's talk about the Flynn movie. The Flynn
Yeah,
movie shows you how evil the American deep state is. It shows you just how profoundly evil our intelligence community has become. Our CIA, our FBI really are, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm not being funny, they really are like the KGB or the Stasi in Eastern Europe under communism. And you need to assimilate that. You need to process that. I know it's hard for patriotic Americans to assimilate facts like that.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to Tuesday, May 14th. Today, because you've been bad, because you've been good, we have John Zmirak in both hours today talking about everything. As you know, John is an expert on everything. He's just an expert, really. And we're going to be talking to John Zmirak about all kinds of stuff. We're going to be talking in part about General Flynn. There's a film out. Honestly, I better not get into it because I get upset, but John and I will get into it. General Flynn has an important film out. We'll also talk with John. He wrote an article, or actually he signed something calling for the Pope to resign. We will get to that, I think, at the end of our interview. We'll cover that. Before we go to John Zmirak, I want to remind our audience of our obligation to Christian Solidarity International. They come to us once or twice a year. They are literally freeing slaves in Sudan. Sounds like I'm making it up. I know. Every time I say it, I don't believe it. That in the world in which we live, people are literally enslaved. The good news is we can do something about it. It's astonishing that we can do something about it, that you can do something about it. If you go to MetaxasTalk.com, and I hope you will go there today if you haven't already, be a part of literally freeing slaves. We got the update this morning. 70, I mean, I honestly, this is too much. 70 slaves have been freed by you. You who are members of the Eric Metaxas radio show audience, podcast audience, you have stepped up. Every $250 given by people on this program frees a slave and sets them up in a life of freedom. It's a magnificent opportunity. I mean, this is putting our faith in action. That's my big thing. Wherever I go, I talk about putting our faith in action. Don't tell me about your faith. Live it out, right? God sees what you believe by how you live. The idea that we could do something, this is an unmitigated good by giving to CSI and freeing slaves, it's a heavenly opportunity. And I want to encourage those of you who haven't yet stepped up, to leap in, folks, today. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. There's a phone number. I'll give you the phone number because it's worth it. 888-253-3522. Dial this phone number or go to MetaxasTalk.com before our segment with John Zmirak. Please do this. 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522. Just join us in doing this beautiful, beautiful thing. Suzanne and I have given, it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to serve God with your gifts. One of the gifts God has given us is money, whatever kind of money, a little bit or a lot. 888-253-3522, Metaxas Talk. com. Check it out. Hey there, folks. Welcome to Tuesday. As my gift to you, John Zmirak. John, you're my gift to the audience today. Please don't disappoint us.
I'm like one of those packages people open up on April 1st and they don't realize, wait, what day is today? The snake comes out of the can,
hits you in the teeth.
Or they open the red heart-shaped box and find that it has 12 frozen dead baby mice that are designed to feed snakes.
I don't remember that ever happening, but thank you for that image, John.
That is a prank I almost played until a friend pointed out it actually might be illegal. And I didn't see how it could be illegal, given that it's legal to buy frozen baby mice to feed your snake. But apparently, if you send it to someone who doesn't own a snake with no explanation in the hope that it will deeply unsettle them, it can be illegal. So that former landlord of mine got off easy.
Wow. We didn't know you could be that mean. And I'm glad that the law prevented you. Oh, not the law of the heart, not your faith, but the law of our land prevented you from doing something so terrible. Let's talk about something positive.
Yes.
Let's see. Hey, what can we talk about that's positive? First of all, you, my friend, have a brand new book out called No Second Amendment, No First. Ladies and gentlemen, the book, No Second Amendment, No First, by John Zmirak, has a foreword written by yours truly. John, honestly, every time I talk to you about your book, what amazes me is that there aren't 10 of these books already out there. The idea that it falls to you now to explain something really basic, it's about as basic as it gets for who we are in America, what liberty is, why we need the Second Amendment. I still don't quite understand why there aren't a raft of books on this, and that we now need to read your book, No Second Amendment, No First.
Well, Eric, why do we need books like your Letter to the American Church and Religionless Christianity, where you simply say things like, you know, Nazism is bad and maybe Christians should stand up against the Nazis. They didn't in the past. And a lot of innocent people got killed. That's pretty straightforward. And yet you have to write multiple books on it. Right. So it's like we're living in the movie Idiocracy, where you have to say, no, Brondo is not what plants crave. No, you don't need to feed Gatorade to the plants. The water, the plants will grow with just water.
Is anyone getting that reference? I confess I'm not, but it doesn't matter. I get it.
In the movie Idiocracy, they sell this stuff called Bronzo, which is like Gatorade for plants. And anyway, the movie Idiocracy is a hilarious dystopian movie of the future, which kind of eerily predicted how stupid things have become. Your books are stuff that was obvious to everyone right after World War II. And we all kind of took for granted, yeah, eugenics, euthanasia, killing the handicapped, persecuting Jews. These things, we thought they were resolved by the Nuremberg trials. And now we look at Columbia University, hordes of foreign students and agitators chanting for the genocide of Jews on the campus of Columbia University, a place where when you and I were young, if you had a Ronald Reagan campaign button, Jewish students would come over and accuse you of being a fascist. And of course, fascist meant anything to the right of Ted Kennedy. Now you have actual genocidal anti-Semites congregating, taking over the whole campus. And you have to say, you know, that's a bad thing. When you chant from the river to the sea, you mean kill all the Jews in Israel. That's a bad thing. And tearing down statues of George Washington, bad thing. Destroying the Constitution, bad thing. Imprisoning your political opponent on false rigged charges with a biased jury, bad thing. Maybe Stalin's form of jurisprudence should not flourish on American shores. We have to explain things very slowly using small words to people because they have pointy objects in their hands. And they shouldn't have access to pointy objects, these people, and they might hurt themselves or others.
Because you, as you're talking, I just thought of two things I don't want to forget to mention. Yesterday, which is to say Monday, I ought to have, I don't think I did, mention that Jerry Seinfeld was given the burden of giving a commencement speech at Duke University. And all the pink-haired pro-Hamas maniacs decided to walk out. And he ought to have said, no speech for you.
Right.
He didn't say that.
He also should have said, why did you even name a school after David Duke? Why am I even speaking here?
That's funny.
But no, because they would immediately have attacked their own school and torn down the, every instance of the name. And if you said to them, but it wasn't named for David Duke originally, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. They would all just start chanting, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
You should write an article about what you just said. The idea that Duke University was named after David Duke. That's too good. That's too good, John. Honestly, you should write an article about it and spread that crazy meme out there among the maniacs, because it's just it's absolutely bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre.
Pretty soon, everything will be named for George Floyd or Fannie Willis. And I, for one, welcome the post-apocalyptic hellscape. When people say, oh, they're worried about AI and about some high-tech future, I tell them, don't worry. People like Fannie Willis are in charge of the electrical grid. Soon you won't have lights in your house. You don't have to worry about AI. You're going to have to worry about fighting for fuel, like in the Mad Max movies. And in the Mad Max post-apocalyptic hellscape, right-wingers and religious people will have an advantage. And vegans and liberals and trans people will be hunted as sources of protein. So things will rectify themselves pretty quickly. Unfortunately, there's no room for right-wing, pointy-headed weenies like you and I.
Naive Pollyanna view from our friend John Zmirak.
That is okay. My best-case scenario, Eric.
Okay, John Zmirak. Since it's Tuesday, let's talk about the articles that you've been writing. We did not talk about an article that you wrote about many very serious Catholics. Obviously, I'm not a Catholic. You are a Catholic, but you wrote about...
Actually, I didn't write it. It was by my friend Jules Gomez.
You recommended it to me, so I put it out there on Twitter. And I want to say also, I want to talk to you again about the Flynn documentary, General Flynn documentary. I posted that on Twitter that people should read your article on the Flynn documentary. And I have 200,000 followers on Twitter. General Flynn, who has 1.5 million followers on Twitter, retweeted my post.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay.
Yes, I saw it this morning, or yesterday rather, I saw it. And it was it's amazing to me that General Flynn saw my tweet. I mean, I know him. He knows me. We don't really spend a lot of time talking, but I was just thrilled because your article on it was very important. And I just thought it's important that people read that article. So again, people can find it at Stream, or they can read it, see it on my Twitter feed. But folks, the Flynn movie, before we skip ahead to the Pope and all this other stuff.
Let's talk about the Flynn movie. The Flynn movie shows you how evil the American deep state is. It shows you just how profoundly evil our intelligence community has become. Our CIA, our FBI really are, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm not being funny, they really are like the KGB or the Stasi in Eastern Europe under communism. And you need to assimilate that, you need to process that. I know it's hard for patriotic Americans to assimilate facts like that. We're used to TV shows where the FBI are the good guys. I can't even watch old shows where the FBI are the good guys. I can't watch it. It's ruined for me. When I now hear that it's the FBI against drug cartels, I just don't know who to root for. It's like the Iran-Iraq war. Can both sides please lose? The FBI, not the ordinary field agents, but the organization, the upper reaches of the FBI, have become a political secret police.
Excuse me. Some of the ordinary field agents are pigs who would rather have their pension than, you know, not break down the doors of innocent people. So let's be clear that everywhere along the line, you have people selling their soul to the devil, selling their soul for money. And God is a judge. And you say, well, that's the way I see it. You know, I need my money for my family. Well, when they break down your door, you know, you're going to wish that there was somebody who actually has principles on the other side of that door. We're going to a break. Folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. You can read most of his stuff at stream.org, or you can just follow me on Twitter or X, where I post as much of it as I possibly can, because it's fantastic. We'll be right back. Welcome back, talking to John Zmirak. John, you were just talking about the General Flynn movie.
Right, so, all right, so let me try to be more linear about this. The General Flynn movie shows you how Mike Flynn was a patriotic military officer, lifelong Democrat, God help him. He is from Rhode Island, where it's kind of in the water. But he, lifelong Democrat, went to work for the Obama administration because he thought he could help fix intelligence problems that were getting American soldiers killed in Afghanistan and had gotten them killed in Iraq. When it became clear he was going to expose internal corruption and systemic rot in the intelligence community, they got Obama to fire him. Flynn got involved with the Trump campaign, first Republican he'd ever supported, because he thought Trump actually cared about America and American lives and American soldiers, and was not going to keep sending American soldiers to die in these endless stupid wars like Afghanistan and Iraq. And now we have to say Ukraine. Ukraine is just another pointless Iraq war. It's 100% that. And if any of you out there think we have to protect Europe from Vladimir Putin by fighting in Ukraine, I've got a bridge near Baltimore that I would like to sell you, that it no longer exists, but it's a great opportunity. And you need to get in here at the ground floor, and I'm selling shares.
It's a fixer-upper.
Yeah, in the George Floyd Memorial Bridge that will replace the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Anyway, Mike Flynn was falsely prosecuted on made-up charges. Mike Pence and Reince Priebus colluded with the FBI to force Mike Flynn out of office. He would have been able to expose all the corruption of the deep state. They went after him during Donald Trump's transition.
Hold on a second. Most of us woke up to Mike Pence, on January 6th, 2021. You're saying
I was
that it seems clear
I was
that
on to
he
Mike
was
he was bad from the beginning. I was on to him in 2015 when he backstabbed Christians and sold out religious liberty because the gay lobby in the Chamber of Commerce demanded that in Indiana. When he sold
we
out,
knew that, I mean, look, I remember you pointing that out, and that's obviously a gigantic black mark in the career of Mike Pence. But his involvement in what happened with General Flynn, what do we know about that? In other words, is it possible that, I mean,
it was reported in the Wall Street Journal that Mike Pence is the one who convinced Donald Trump to fire Mike Flynn. So Wall Street Journal reported that. This is not the rumor mill.
But the reason I bring it up, John, is that if Donald Trump was fooled into thinking that he should fire General Flynn, right, it's possible that Mike Pence was fooled into thinking this was the wise tack as well.
Well, if you watch the Flynn film, he shows how Pence had been hostile to him from the beginning, because Flynn had originally been considered as a vice presidential candidate. And when Pence was put on instead, Pence saw Flynn as a threat from the very beginning.
That's very interesting. Now, this brings up another subject, which I don't want to get off, but I have to bring this up because we never have before. Trump's obviously going to be the GOP nominee. Who should his vice president be? I think General Flynn would make a wonderfully frightening choice.
I agree. That would be my first choice, actually.
Your first choice. You've never said that before.
Watching the film convinced me of that.
Do you think it's possible that Trump would pick General Flynn?
I think it's unlikely, because everyone around him is trying to push him towards the squishy center. It would be amazing if he picked Flynn. It would tell us that we're not going to have a rerun of the mistakes of the first Trump administration, where he listens to the deep state and he listens to the rhinos. That's why it would be great. Also, Trump needs a vice president who is more scary to the deep state than he is as life insurance. It's like Spiro Agnew was great life insurance for Richard Nixon. Any future conservative president who wants really good life insurance, I am available to be vice president of the United States.
John, but seriously, it seems to me, look, they're going to do anything they can to demonize and destroy Donald Trump. I think picking General Flynn really it's a brilliant idea, and I'm glad I thought of it.
Yes, it was a great idea. So again, I just want to go on. We're rambling a bit. The Mike Flynn movie shows you the deep state will destroy anyone who gets in its way. It will lie, cheat, steal. It will make up fake criminal charges. It will make them up against your family members. It will try to bulldoze you into pleading guilty to something everyone knows you didn't do by threatening to imprison your family members. That is how ruthless the likes of Peter Stroke and the whole mechanism that did the Russia collusion. Remember, they knew Donald Trump never colluded with Russia. They knew it was made up. They still impeached him to try to remove him from office. They knew Mike Flynn had not committed treason, had not been lobbying for a foreign government without registering. They knew all that. They tried to put him and his son in prison. His defense attorneys were actually working on behalf of the government because they were so connected to the DC establishment. They were actually throwing the case and trying to force him to plead guilty and go to prison. He had to fire them and hire the great Sidney Powell as a new defense attorney. She was defeating the charges in the courts to the point where even the Justice Department withdrew the prosecution. The corrupt Obama-appointed judge, Sullivan, would not allow the government to withdraw its prosecution. He insisted, even though the prosecutors no longer believe in this, I'm still going to send him to jail.
I want to continue these and other sentences with the great John Zmirak. Don't go away.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
Talking to John Zmirak. John, reprise the last part of what you were saying, because I want to tease it out a bit.
Mike Flynn was going to come in as Trump's national security advisor. He was going to show where all the bodies were buried, all the corruption in the FBI and the CIA and the Defense Department that was getting American soldiers killed. They were so desperate, the bureaucrats, the permanent government of the deep state, were so desperate to stop him that they made up fake criminal charges. They accused him of treason. They threatened to put his son in prison as well as him. They prosecuted him. He was forced to resign by corrupt rhinos like Mike Pence, convinced Trump that this was not worth fighting over. Then they tried to put him in prison. His defense attorneys actually were working for the prosecutor. The judge was unbelievably biased. It was pulling hen's teeth to get those charges thrown out. Now he's made this powerful movie, Flynn, which you can get from Salem Media. One of the most powerful films I've seen in years. Now he's going cross-country promoting it. And he just got hit with 9 more subpoenas from the Justice Department. They're never going to stop persecuting him. My friend Sidney Powell, she's still being persecuted by the government for having talked about election fraud. What they are doing is making examples of these people. Cross us and we will destroy your life. We will do whatever it takes. We'll use the whole mechanism of the American government to destroy your life, to send you to prison, to send your family members to prison, to bankrupt you, to persecute anyone who even tries to take your side. That is what we're dealing with.
I don't know if I brought it up on this program recently. I'm one of those people. I'm being sued. I can't really talk about it. It's been very tough. Some articles have been written about it recently. It's in the state of Colorado. It's been very tough on us. If you want to help me, you can go to my GiveSendGo page, GiveSendGo.com/Eric. But we're in a war, folks. We're in a war. And whatever you can do to help, wherever you are, I don't mean with my legal defenses, although I guess that falls into the category. But the point is that if you're not fighting somehow, if this isn't costing you something somehow, you're helping the other side to win. When we hear what General Flynn has been through, what Sidney Powell has been through, what the president is going through.
What John Eastman, who is one of Trump's attorneys trying to fight the election fraud, they are trying to comprehensively dismantle John Eastman's life. This great constitutional scholar, they're trying to disbar him. They try to send him to prison. They try to sue him into bankruptcy. This is what the Polish authorities did to Lech Walesa and his friends. And I call Donald Trump the American Lech Walesa. And we are dealing with a Polish-style communist party, like a Polish communist party and a Polish state media. And that you have to assimilate that. This next election is like the first free election that Solidarity faced the communists. That's how important this upcoming election is. And there are plenty of things to complain about with Donald Trump. There was a lot wrong with Lech Walesa. He was really rough around the edges. I couldn't take the mustache. There were flaws. Better than communism. Better than communism. I wish Donald Trump had a stronger pro-life position. But guess what? RFK Jr. just came out for abortion up through birth. And some people are saying they're shocked by that. I have some news for those people. In 1964, 9 years before Roe v. Wade, when the word abortion was something you didn't say at a party, you didn't say it in mixed company, it was like dropping the N-word. 1964, the Kennedy family, Ted and RFK Sr., gathered a bunch of liberal Jesuits in Hyannisport, Massachusetts, to come up with rationalizations for Catholics who wanted to be pro-abortion. 1964, they were—
Was Father Hesburgh in on this?
No, I don't think he was. They were waiting for Roe v. Wade. They were preparing the ground for Roe v. Wade. They were preparing the ground for a pope like Francis. And this provides a nice segue to another article, to my latest article at the stream, which is called,
John, before you say that, because I just love the fact that we have enough time to be a little rambly today. What you just said, there's so much on this program we don't ever cover. You just mentioned RFK Jr. Being pushed in an interview to actually say what he evidently believes, that the ability to murder your unborn child 9 months in the womb. Folks, do you have any idea? You know what the difference is between a baby 9 months in the womb and a baby just out of the womb? I think you know the answer. Absolutely nothing. Murder of children, infanticide. Now, what's interesting to me, John, is politically, RFK Jr. feels that in order to be the Democrat nominee, he has to take that position. But in taking that position—
He's not running for the Democratic nominee. He's running third party in order to steal votes from Biden.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm sorry. You're right. But I'm saying, but what's so fascinating is that when he says that, all those people who hate Donald Trump and are looking for an alternative, now you're stuck, folks. Now you're stuck because he has said this. You can criticize Trump's not being pro-life enough all you want. Here are your options. Right. You know, bloodbath and bloodbath too. Absolutely. It's just staggering that he actually said that. I just want to say it was an amazing moment. But please continue.
Abortion is the sacrament of the sexual revolution. Abortion is backup birth control. It is the final solution to the baby problem. It is sacred to people who think that sexual freedom, absolute sexual freedom, is the paramount virtue, the paramount value. Liberals believe that freedom starts at the bedroom door and it stops at the bedroom door. You can do whatever you want with your body in the bedroom. When you leave the bedroom, we're going to force you to take these vaccines. We're not going to let you work for less than the minimum wage. We're going to force you to get government health care. We're going to force you maybe to show a vaccine passport to get on an airplane. We're going to use all sorts of government force on you. The only place you're free is in the bedroom. Do whatever perverted crap you want, and you can kill the baby. So liberals, the only freedom they believe in is in the bedroom. It starts and stops at the bedroom door.
Well, this is the place to where things have devolved in America, where we cease to understand what the founders meant by freedom, by liberty. We're here now. The first time I noticed it was right after 9/11 when Joy Behar was on The View, and her view of why the Taliban was evil was basically because they don't believe in, you know, pornography and all that wonderful stuff we have in America. She actually said it. I'll never forget it. We'll be right back. We're talking to John Zamirak. Folks, I welcome back Todd Chapman to be on the program. Todd, welcome back.
Thanks, Eric. Glad
Listen,
to be here.
What you're doing at CSI, you know, I get very excited about this for many reasons, just because the ability to literally free slaves. Folks, there are slaves in Sudan today enslaved by radical Muslims. We can stand against that and with our own money today, free slaves. And let's be clear, Todd, make the case, because sometimes I'll get an email from people like, oh, I don't want to encourage the slave trade by paying off slavers with money. It'll just encourage them to do more of this. Can you explain how that's not right, that people are getting it wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, there is now legislation in place that forbids, it prohibits any more, you know, slaves from being taken captive. And so you've got that. But second of all, we know we never pay cash for a slave. We instead negotiate and barter their freedom with a cattle vaccine. Many of these slave owners are cattle ranchers and they need this vaccine. They can't get any other way. And so we provide that in exchange for freeing a captive. And we know that it's not creating more a market, if you will, because we continue every year to free slaves. We freed since 1995, we've freed over 100,000 slaves. And so every year, the number of people remaining in captivity continues to decline. So we know it's working. We know that other people aren't being taken captive. And so rest assured that we've already thought that through, and this is the best way to do this. We've been doing this a long time. But, you know, Eric, I think you said something earlier, and this is really what I would like to communicate to your listeners. If you look around at what's happening in the world right now, it can be a real bummer. It seems really dark, religious persecution everywhere, even here in America, as we look at these protests and riots on our college campuses, these anti-Semitic sensibilities and all of that. But what do we do as Christians in the face of that? We don't despair. We actually look up and we look for opportunities to be a source of light and love and goodness and hope in the world. And this is a way that you can do that. You can give $21 a month, $25, $50 a month, $250, $500, and literally set a human being free for the rest of her life in the name of Jesus. And now recently, Eric, too, we've been able to free the children along with their moms. We're really excited about that. But we can't continue to do this work without your generous support. We've got more slave liberations coming up this month. And we're praying that the Eric Metaxas listeners during this month are going to provide enough money to free at least 100 captives. You've done it time and time again. So we're absolutely confident that God will lay on your heart what you should do, that you're going to respond in obedience. So thank you.
And that's the goodness of this audience. I want to say thank you in advance to everyone for responding to this. I kind of wonder how you can not respond. MetaxasTalk.com is the website. But when you hear how simple this is, how glorious this is, that with your money, you can literally free people from slavery. This is not talking about improving people's lives. It's talking about translating them from being slaves to being free. It's an unimaginable thing. It's a picture of the good news of Jesus Christ on so many levels. When you live out your faith, you do things that I can't get over it. We get to do this, folks. We get to do this. And I want you to share with your neighbors. Say, did you know that people are enslaved right now while we're talking for being Christians? Did you know that? And are you doing anything about it? Do you care about them or don't you care? Well, the only way you can say something like that is if you care and if you've done something about it. So I want to exhort you to go to metaxastalk.com to click on the banner. You'll see there, everything is there. And I always say this, anybody who's able to give $15,000, right? That's very few people, maybe nobody. But if you can, I will volunteer my evening. I'll have dinner with you. We'll figure out where and what city, your city, my city. But I just want to throw that out there for somebody that wants to give a big tax deductible gift to this glorious, glorious effort. It's a beautiful thing. It's CSI. You have to go to metaxastalk.com. If you can give $250, whatever you can give, now is the time. Do this. You'll feel better about yourself today. You're aligning with God's principles. You're worshiping him with your money. Go to metaxastalk.com. Please do it today. Folks, welcome back. I have good news and I have bad news. His name is John Zmirek. John, welcome back.
Thanks, Eric. I like to think I'm like the Assyrians whom God sends to chastise people when they really, really need it. Some people say, why did I have to be born in times like these? I think I was born in the times that deserve me. You know, if I'd been born in the 50s, it wouldn't have been fair. The 50s didn't deserve me. This is
God doesn't make mistakes. Let's be honest.
No, God has a chip on his shoulder and he believes in payback, and I am the payback.
I mean, we've talked about a lot today already, but I want to talk about this thing that you signed. Describe it to my audience because it's not clear to me what it was.
There's a piece at stream.org by my good friend Jules Gomez, brilliant Catholic journalist, former Anglican priest, became a Catholic. Catholic academics call for Pope Francis to resign or be removed, citing unprecedented crisis. This is an 18-page list of charges against Pope Francis, laying out all the things he has done that throw into question the authority of the Catholic Church and the institutions of the Catholic Church. 18 pages of abuses that Pope Francis has committed. And the organizer sent it to me. He's having trouble finding people willing to sign it because it's kind of a death warrant for your career inside the Catholic world. I will never work for another Catholic publication or Catholic institution having signed this appeal. This statement, it basically says, Pope Francis is no longer a Catholic. Therefore, he is no longer eligible to be Pope. We have to consider the possibility that by ceasing to be a Catholic, he has lost the office of Pope and should not be treated as Pope anymore. And if he's not willing to resign, bishops of the Catholic Church should step forward and recognize the fact that he has essentially resigned by leaving the Catholic Church, and they need to elect a replacement. This is a very serious thing to say about a pope. This is like saying we have to overthrow the government. This is like what happened in 1775 when the Continental Congress said we have to sever ties with Great Britain. This is a July 4th, 1776 moment. What led us to this? Pope Francis has approved blessings of same-sex couples in Catholic churches. That violates the whole tradition of Christian morality and of Jewish morality. That violates everything going back to Leviticus. Pope Francis has essentially taken the Bible and dumped it in the trash and said, I am a higher authority than the Bible. Pope Francis has said that capital punishment is intrinsically evil, that it is always wrong and has always been wrong in every circumstance. God himself demands capital punishment in the covenant of Noah. And again, Moses, at God's instruction, had the death penalty for various crimes in the Old Testament. The Catholic Church has approved of the death penalty. Pope after pope after pope after pope approved the death penalty up through Pius XII, demanded the death penalty for the Nazi war criminals at Nuremberg, said they should be hanged as quickly as possible. Pope Francis is saying he is higher than the Bible, than the whole Catholic tradition, than the natural law. He is saying the death penalty in itself is intrinsically evil. In a subsequent document that came out recently, he said all deportation, deporting anyone from any country for any reason at any time, is intrinsically evil, like aborting a baby. That is intended for American politics. That is intended for European politics. That is intended to help the left continue to bring illegal immigrants into the country. And then, oh, wait, we can't throw them out because that's intrinsically evil, like aborting a baby. Pope Francis has said that. You cannot.
I mean, as a non-Catholic, I mean, I'm fascinated by this. The reason I talk to you about this is because it's fascinating to anybody paying attention to, you know, anything at this point, to have this figure of the Pope make these kinds of pronouncements. One thing that pops into my mind, which I don't think I have asked you, when they chose him as the Pope, do you believe that people understood who he was and that he would be doing this kind of thing? Can you speculate on why you have speculated on why he's doing this? But you're a rank-and-file Catholic that really just wants to kind of, you know, things to go along as they have. What are they to make of this? Where did this man come from? What does it say about the church as a whole that he could be a bishop and an archbishop, a cardinal, much less the Pope?
There's a very good book called The Dictator Pope by a Catholic historian, Henry Sire, who says that Jorge Bergoglio was a very clever political operator who clawed his way to the top of the church in Argentina and has left a long line of people with knives in their backs. Henry Sire believes that Bergoglio is a sociopath, someone who lies without the slightest problem, who backstabs, who destroys people, who has no conscience. I think, based on what I've read, that Pope Francis is an atheist and has been for a long time, that he is a leftist politician who saw the church as a way to gain political power, like that Senator Warnock from Georgia who claims to be a minister but praises Fidel Castro and abortion. That man's not a Christian. He just saw the ministry as a way to gain political power. Interestingly, Pope Francis had a private meeting with Senator Warnock. He welcomed him at the Vatican. They are peas in a pot. So my private theory, and I have no proof of this, my private theory is that Pope Francis joined the seminary at the instruction of his local Communist Party cell. We know the Communist Party in the 50s and 60s was sending recruits into the seminary to infiltrate the Catholic Church. I think Jorge Bergoglio was one of those people. And he slid his way. He made all the right noises to get appointed bishop by Pope John Paul II. He got himself in a position where he was a potential candidate for Pope. There was a coalition of left-wing bishops from around the world who leaned towards Marxism, and corrupt bishops in Europe who were deeply implicated in the sexual abuse of children, either committing it or covering it up. There was a coalition of what I call the Marxist faction and the pedophile faction among the cardinals, and they managed to present Bergoglio as a moderate to fool the good cardinals, who naively accepted him as a choice and elected him as Pope. They colluded before the papacy, which violates canon law. They schemed, they plotted. Some people think the Obama administration was involved. I'm not even speculating about that. All the worst people in the church got together and elected this man. I mean, you could ask similar questions. The Patriarch of Constantinople is almost as bad as Pope Francis. How did he get his job? Because the devil wants to destroy the churches. He wants to destroy the institutions that pass along the gospel. So he focuses all his attention on who he can corrupt, whom he can recruit, whom he can fool.
We've got more with John Smirek in this hour. Welcome back. We're talking to John Zamirak for most of both hours. I don't know what my audience did to deserve this, but those of you who've been very, very good, and those of you who've been very, very bad, you're equally deserving of 2 hours of me talking to John Zamirak. John, let's keep going. We were talking about the nightmare of a pope who seems not to be Catholic. But I want to say we've seen this throughout the other denominations. In other words, when you say that he is, you know, going against Leviticus, he's going against, all you need to do is look at the Episcopal Church and look at most other churches. They
United
have,
United Methodist Church just voted to have gay clergy. The devil is attacking all the churches. He's attacking the Southern Baptist Convention. There is nowhere to go to hide. It is a full-on ecumenical persecution of the church by the forces of hell. And there's nowhere to go hide. People say, well, why don't you become Greek Orthodox? Oh, wait, the Greek Orthodox are talking about accepting gays now, gay unions now. They're pushing for that. The devil is pushing everywhere. Everywhere. There is no place to hide. So
well, I just want to be clear. There's no denomination in which to hide, but there are individual churches, individual pastors, individual priests that are standing heroically. If you don't join them, folks, you're part of the problem. In our previous segment, Neil Mammon, you can go to mychurchfinder.org. I think it's .org, mychurchfinder.org. So you can and need to go to places that are standing against this. But, John, there's so much else to say. Keep going.
So I have a new piece at stream.org called Mission Accomplished. The rainbow seamless garment is suffocating the church as intended. There's a story at the Christian Post which says less than 1% of American Catholics agree with all three of the Catholic Church's teachings on sanctity of life issues. It is actually 0.9%. But let's see how they frame that. What percentage of Catholics do not support abortion for any reason and also oppose the death penalty? Because Pope Francis is saying you can't be against aborting babies for sexual convenience unless you're against hanging the Nazis after Nuremberg. That is the position the Vatican is teaching. That is something called the seamless garment. It has been around since 1982. It was invented by Cardinal Joseph Bernardine of Chicago. He created it as a kind of a G-string and pasties for Ted Kennedy and Geraldine Ferraro and Nancy Pelosi. Politicians with Irish or Italian last names.
You forgot Governor Cuomo.
Yeah, Mario Cuomo. It was a G-string for ethnic politicians who have Catholic voters they want to appeal to. So they can say, I'm personally opposed to abortion. I just think it should happen all the time. I mean, I always plug in segregation. I'm personally opposed to segregation. I just think it should be imposed by law. I'm personally opposed to rape and slavery, but I just think the government should promote them. It doesn't take more than 2 seconds to realize what nonsense, what a lie from the pit of hell that is. So what they did was they tried to say, you can't be against killing a million babies a year for sexual convenience unless you're against executing Nazi war criminals. You can't be against killing a million babies unless you want open borders and a total welfare state, cradle to grave, unless you want gun control, unless you want everything the left wants, you're not really a Catholic. You can't be against killing babies. It was entirely a poison pill but to destroy the pro-life movement, to say you're not really pro-life unless you want to ban all guns. You're not really pro-life unless you're a pacifist who thinks we should not have fought the Nazis. You can't ban killing babies, fill in the blank. It's a series of excuses. It's also a kind of an insane utopian political program. In order to not kill babies for sexual convenience, you have to jump through all these insane, impossible hoops that nobody would. And this survey shows us that nobody does. 0.9% of Catholics torture their minds into believing the garbage that the Vatican is teaching, that killing babies for sexual convenience is the same as deporting illegal immigrants, executing Nazi war criminals, allowing Americans to have their Second Amendment rights. And that's why I wrote No Second Amendment, No First, to make the biblical Christian Catholic case for gun rights. I'm pushing back against the seamless rainbow garment. It's a good thing that nobody accepts this utopian nonsense. If Christianity really taught that you have to have open borders and socialism and gun control, and you can't execute Nazi war criminals, and you can't fight wars in self-defense, if Christianity really taught that, that taught all those things, there's one thing we would know, that Christianity was false. If that's Christianity, I will persecute it myself. That is the fundamental thing you have to say to these people. Jesus did not rise from the dead so that Catholic charities could smuggle illegal immigrants in from Guatemala and bill the taxpayer and collect $3 billion for the bishops. That's not why Jesus rose from the dead.
The corruption of any big organization, including the Catholic Church, is disturbing, but it's a fact of life, and you have to call it out, and you do that, John. It's extraordinary how bad things have gotten. We'll continue talking to John Zmirak. Folks, let me remind you, we need your help to free slaves in Sudan. Please go to metaxastalk.com today. If you haven't done it yet, this is it. Everybody needs to participate. You participate how you want, but just go to metaxastalk.com. Join us. This is a beautiful thing, metaxastalk.com. You'll see the banner right at the top. Please join us.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze.
Welcome back. We're talking to John Zmirak. If you haven't yet gone to our website, metaxastalk.com, and clicked on the CSI banner to free a slave, folks, I just want to say that's on your to-do list. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Join us in that. Please join us in that. John, we haven't talked recently about Israel and Gaza. I did mention that a lot of the pro-Hamas pro-terrorist students graduating from Duke University, which we now know has been named for the racist David Duke, that a lot of them walked out when Jerry Seinfeld spoke, prompting him to say, no speech for you. The media did not report on that. But we haven't talked about Israel very much. Let me just throw something at you before we leap here. Mike Johnson, the speaker ostensibly of the House of Representatives, he seems to have, you know, just sold his soul for the idea, I guess, of getting some aid to Israel. So, he's funding open borders. He's funding money to Ukraine. He's like funding everything except, keeping America safe. And I guess he would say, well, because we needed to get money to Israel. And then Joe Biden says, yeah, we're not going to send the money to Israel until Netanyahu promises to do things the way we think he should do it, by not going into Rafah, by not. It's kind of amazing that we're at this place.
The answer is Israel needs to tell the U.S. to pound sand. Israel needs to stop taking American money so that it can do what needs to be done. Right now, American money is like strings that are controlling them and keeping them from doing what's necessary to preserve the safety of their people. Israel would be better off if it didn't take a dime from the United States. And we as conservatives should say, no more aid to any of these places. Let them do what they need to do. Israel needs to clean out the terrorists in Gaza. It needs to clean out all the Hamas supporters. I think ultimately Israel needs to relocate everybody in Gaza somewhere else, dump them in Syria. Yes, wait, that's ethnic cleansing. That's horrible. That's genocide. I want to point out, in the 1990s, there was a civil war in the former Yugoslavia. My ancestral homeland of Croatia, there were a lot of Croatians in Serbia. There were a lot of Serbs in Croatia. They were all fighting the government. That looked like a civil war that was never going to end. What did they do? They took all the Croatians in Serbia and sent them to Croatia. They took all the Serbs in Croatia. They sent them to Serbia. It's a lot like what happened with the Greeks and the Turks in the 1920s. It was ugly. It was unpleasant, but it put an end to the mutual ethnic warfare. Eventually, you can't live in the same political unit as people who have genocidal hatred for you. And people who supported Hamas are essentially Nazis. They have a Nazi view of the Jews. They want to kill all the Jews. You can't have them living under in the same border as Israelis. I'm saying there is no future for Gaza being full of Palestinians who want to kill the Jews. It has to be resolved. It should be resolved as peacefully, as nonviolently as possible. But those people need to leave. They want to slaughter everyone in Israel. They're going to have to go. They need to go peacefully. They need to be resettled somewhere in the Arab world. That is the only solution that will prevent genocide, the genocide of Jews or the genocide of Palestinians. They cannot live together within the same borders. And right now, Gaza is essentially sort of in the borders of Israel. Israel has ultimate security control over it. You can't have that. What Israel is doing now in Gaza, the governments of France and Germany and Great Britain are eventually going to face similar operations with Muslim terrorist enclaves in their own cities. Large ethnic Muslim groups that want Sharia law are already asserting themselves in places like London and Paris and Brussels and Berlin. What Israel faces now is what Europe will face in 20 years. And it's really important that Israel do what is necessary to preserve its national survival and not worry about the squeals about human rights and ethnic cleansing. None of that matters. It's all smoke and mirrors to promote a terrorist enclave of people who want to commit genocide against the Jews. And I fully support Israel doing whatever is necessary, by any means necessary, to preserve itself from genocide.
I think it's common sense, and that's why all this nonsense. I mean, Douglas Murray recently, he's been heroic on this. He said, you can't put a fire out 80%. In other words, like, you need to put the fire out. Otherwise, you've never put the fire out. Otherwise, it's going to burn everything eventually. That's kind of what you're dealing with Hamas. I mean, this idea.
All these people who are screaming about the women and children in Gaza, I want to know where they were 6 months ago when Azerbaijan drove hundreds of thousands of Christian Armenians out of the region Artsakh, where they lived for 1,800 years. One of the oldest Christian community on earth is Armenians. Nobody cared when Azerbaijan drove hundreds of thousands of Christian Armenians out of their homes and blew up their churches. Where were these Hamas, pro-Hamas demonstrators? Where were all these human rights activists when Azerbaijan was ethnically cleansing Armenians 6 months ago? Azerbaijan is now preparing to go to war, to invade Armenia itself and complete the Armenian genocide from 1915. Who's talking about that?
Nobody is talking about it except you. This is what's so amazing, the selective courage of, you know, things to get people outraged. Another thing that Douglas Murray said was that, you know, you don't get to start a war, which Hamas did on October 7th, and then at some point say, okay, we'll stop now. I think Israel's only response to what happened on October 7th is killing every Hamas terrorist, or, you know, sending them to a country that would love to harbor them, and that they exist, I guess. I really don't see any other way around it.
That's right. There is no, you can't convince the cobra and the mongoose to just get along. They have to be in separate cages. That's why we have countries, folks. That is why we have countries. The French and Germans can be separated by fences so they can stop fighting with each other. That's the whole point of having national borders.
Brilliantly put. John Zmirak, thank you for being my guest. Folks, don't forget to get a copy of No Second Amendment, No First by John Zmirak. John, thank you.
Thank you, Eric.